One of the things we realize is we are asked to always speak the truth, but Don, you and Donna are playing the truth. And I want to say thank you. Thank you. Oh, dear. Well, let's quickly go over some announcements and some birthdays. We've got a lot of folks celebrating birthdays this week, so we want to wish them a happy birthday. So, fellas, where are we going to start there? What have you got? Announcements? Prayer time. Dan and Joyce are coordinating that, and Donna and Bruce, 2 o'clock on Mondays, and they'd love to have you join them. And then, of course, don't forget Wednesday, ladies, 10 o'clock here at the church, and I understand that you're just having a tremendous time together. So to Sue and Sheila, thank you for leading that. Sheila's coming up in just a second. She wants to say something as well. Our discussion night on Wednesdays at 7, or Thursdays at 7, if you haven't had a chance to come out, you need to come out and enjoy it. We actually have Rick Anderson on Zoom with us, all the way from hockey headquarters in Toronto. No, it's the Sanding headquarters in Toronto. So come on out for a great time of fellowship. And Sheila, come on up. I believe you would like to share a thought with us, and then we'll go over the birthdays.
I would like to invite Phil to come up, Colin to come up, and Tanga, and Carl, sorry. Carl, I don't know why I do that. And Tanga and Christina, please come up. And Jane, please come up. On behalf of the Ladies Vision Group, this is Pastor's Appreciation Month. So this is the last day. So I'm going to present them from the Ladies Vision Group.
This is for Pastor.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
Phil and Liz. Carl. Not Carl. And Tom.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for serving this church. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for this church putting up with all of us.
And Dorothy is back from the Great White South. And Dorothy, it's nice to see you and her daughter Diane. Diane, it's nice to have you here. Kevin and Andrea, nice to have you with us. Kevin, how do you keep your head so shiny? What are you doing, brother? Looks great. Looks great. It's polish. Okay. You know, how many of you remember when you had hair that you used VO5? Oh, no, that was the women. I'm teasing. You used Brill Cream, little dabble. Do you? Yeah. I remember my mother stopped using VO5 because a lady was spraying her hair one day and she was smoking a cigarette and her hair caught on fire. Seriously. That's literally what happened. So some of these things, and who knows what, we were all breathing in when we were trying to keep our hair looking good. So, you know, sometimes I think we need to realize how much the Lord has protected us. Carl is our coordinator for Samaritan's Purse, and the boxes are there. He's brought them, and they're ready to go, and you fill a box with different toys and things for children, and they're going to children along with a gospel story of children that have never even received gifts before. So we're going to be sending them. The flights are going to start going out in early December around the world. Carl, do we know where the Canadian boxes are going this year? Do you have any idea? Not yet? You'll let us know? Perfect. Okay. So thank you to all of you that have participated in that ministry and continue to do so this year. Okay, we have some birthdays. Let's wish some people a very happy birthday. First of all, Leanne is celebrating a birthday. We want to wish her the Lord's blessing. And Renee in Ottawa at university is celebrating a birthday. Cavell, of course, on the 3rd. And many of you will remember Pearl Fajell. And if you get a chance to call Pearl, you'll just be so blessed. I talked to her 2 weeks ago, had a terrific conversation with that young lady. And many of you will remember Pearl and George. They were two of the nicest people we could possibly meet, and so she's now living with her daughter down near Shelburne. Stephanie also has a birthday this week, and Deanne, happy 39th, girl. The Lord bless you. And no one has an anniversary this week. Have we missed anybody? And it's a glow stick, too?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Terrific. Thank you. Thank you, Kids Church. All right. Let's open with prayer, shall we? Father, we just want to bless your name. You are an amazing God, and we are here not only to acknowledge that, but to literally profess that, whether it's through our words, whether it's through our voices of singing, whether through a focus of prayer, whether it's through a love for one another because we're part of a great and enormous worldwide fellowship of believers in Jesus. And also, we're here because we want to learn more from you. We realize, Lord, that we have fallen short in many ways. We have done things, said things, thought things that have not been honoring to you. And so, Lord, as we come into your presence this morning, as we have a chance to worship you, would you once again cleanse us, body, mind, and spirit, free us up so that we can truly see what an amazing God you are this day. And now bless our team as they come to lead us. In your name we pray. Amen. Bless the Lord. Men, ladies.
You remember us all the time. And so, Father, as we have lifted up our voices to sing of your great mercy, of your great love, for all you have done for us through Jesus Christ, we want to make sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Carl, I just want to say thank you. It was nice to sing some of those old hymns again. The truths of the hymns. And I appreciate our church where we have contemporary and old. We have a good mix. And so every Sunday I look forward to seeing how we're going to praise the Lord. So, Carl, thank you. We're going to take some notes of praise and prayer requests. And I just wanted to know, Doug, I want to start with you. Is it a praise or prayer request that your wife is turning 50 with this birthday?
Oh, no.
I think I'll throw my daughter under the bus. Oh, dear. How many of you, when you have your birth, just a little aside, realize the faithfulness of God in the anniversary of your birth? When you think about it, there's quite a number of people that had very traumatic births. And traumatic things have happened through our life, and yet every birthday serves as a milestone for what? The goodness of God and his faithfulness to us. And I know Monique celebrating with your husband this past week with his 60th birthday. Like these are important milestones and important minutes. And you know, I think we need to celebrate anniversaries, you know, the stability of marriages and birthdays and the great reality of it and all. And so I think as you think of people and phone them to wish them happy anniversary or happy birthday, that remember, it's about God's faithfulness to all of us. So to all of you, happy birthday. Okay. Let's take some notes for praise, first of all, this morning. Who has some updates they want to share with us? Okay, notes for prayer. Dorothy? Praise the Lord. Absolutely. That's fantastic. How many would like prayer for pain today? All right. I think we should. What do you say? Okay. All right. Other things for prayer? Yes, Susan. We're going to pray because this is serious for all of you. We want to pray for you too, Ted, with your back, with all the pain you've been going through. All right, we want to pray for you today. Shauna is not well. She has issues with migraines and things, and so she's not able to be here today, so we want to pray for her. Other things that we need to take before the Lord? Okay, unspoken? That's great. Okay, if you're in pain today, are you okay, those of you in pain, with somebody coming over to you and being within 6 feet of you to anoint you with oil, and you understand what we're doing. James says that we're to anoint with oil, confess our sins that we might be healed, anoint with oil that you may be healed. It's nothing in the oil. It's the act of obedience. We are asking the Lord, and the oil is a sign that we're asking the Holy Spirit to touch you. All right? Is anybody object if we do that today? All right. Then if you're in pain today, would you stand? If you're in any kind of pain today and would like to be anointed, stand, please. Carl, I'm going to ask you and Tonga if you would go and start on this side of the room. Okay, we'll do that. But first, let's pray, shall we? Lord, we are here in your presence. This time together is all about you. Lord, we are here because we need you. We are here because we want you. We're here because there's no better spot to be than with other believers praising your name this day. And so, Father, we want to first of all thank you for your goodness to every one of us. Thank you for, as Richard says, Suzanne's stability and stability in every area. Thank you for what you've done for Dorothy. And, Lord, we believe you're going to do great things even this day in the people that are standing in simple trust that you know them, you know what they're going through, and in your love, you would touch them in a special way. So while Donna plays quietly and all of us just focus on you, let's just lift up one another and ask the Heavenly Father to touch these who need a special touch from you today. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to what you're going to do, and we commit ourselves because you're going to do great things. So bless the Lord as we continue to pray for people. Father, we just want to tell you we love you. And we are so excited to pray for one another today because we know that you've got plans and purposes for each one of us that are far bigger than we could possibly imagine. So, Lord, with that in mind, we commend all this family to you this day. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for your continual protection. Thank you for you're going to lead us into this new week. And, Father, help us not to lean on our own understanding. You lead us, and we will follow. And all God's people said, amen.
I don't know if everyone here, the amazing love you've shown to us. Father, I pray now that you would anoint our pastor with the words that you want him to speak. That, Father, it would come from his mouth with the spirit in the words. That we might become the men and women you would have us to be. For now, and until we meet again, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, team. You did a terrific job. And Monique, thanks for anchoring the men. That was needed. I want to talk about your roots. Ladies, I'm not talking about your hair. All right, so don't be worried. We're not talking about the roots. Although, what I have found in COVID, would the rest of you agree that during COVID we've seen a lot more roots? Anyway, I want to talk about the roots that grow deep down, the roots that anchor us. Because I think we need to be reminded of what we believe in. And I want to start with Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14 through 21. For this reason, and Paul is saying, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being, what's the next word? Rooted and grounded in love. Whose love? His love. That you may know, that you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth of what? His love. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or think, according to the power at work where? Within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. And all God's people, in agreement with Paul, said, amen. So again, what I want to share with you is a reminder of who we're rooted in. Because I don't know about you, the days each week are busy. There's so much going on. There's so many things to do. And much of it is just things that we have to do as part of living on this earth. We need to remind ourselves, though, of who we belong to. So the question is, who are you rooted to? What are you anchored in? Well, is it really Christ, the solid rock I stand? I mean, when's the last time you and I have really taken time to think, yeah, where I'm going through in my life, good, bad, or ugly, the one who I'm anchored in is not sinking sand concept God. He's a rock that is anchored in the reality of eternity. Now, here's something else I want you to realize. It doesn't matter whether you say, well, I'm grafted into the vine or I'm standing on a rock. At the end of the day, we're all rooted where? In God, through Christ Jesus. And we made that choice to believe in Jesus at some point in our life. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad had a faith that was second to none because when he was his third, fourth year of university, God actually spoke out loud to him on the campus of McMaster University. Phenomenal conversion. And I think I might have told you that there was a time my dad took me and my two younger brothers to the actual spot where God had spoken out loud to my dad. And he said, sons, this is where God spoke to me. I'll tell you, the hair on the back of my head, because that's the only hair I've got, stood up straight on end. It was amazing. But for many of us, we came through an understanding, through people talking to us, through reading books, through conversations. And for me, it was all about world religion. And when I came to Christ, I came because when I studied the world religions and realized that there was only one leader of a world religion who walked out of his grave, I said, I'm going to believe in that fella. And so that's where I trace back my roots, because we all have to have roots ourselves in God. I remember talking to a youth leader one time, and he was commenting. He had about 35, 40 young people in his youth group. We were standing, and the young people were participating in activities. It was in a gym setting. And he said, you know what? He said, John, I can tell you what teenagers are already in Christ. They've made it their own. And you know, as he pointed to them, one of the young men he pointed to was my son. And at 15, Andrew knew in whom he had believed, and he was persuaded that he was able to keep that which he'd committed unto that day. And the youth leader said, you know what, John? He says, what I see is they own their belief structure. The rooting can start at any time. I've seen 8 and 10-year-olds tell me how much they love Jesus. In fact, I've seen 2 and 3-year-olds actually come up and say, Pastor John, I love Jesus. I believe him. It doesn't matter what our age. I've seen 82-year-old people come up to me and say, you know what, Pastor John, I finally accepted Jesus. I realize that I need more in my life than what I've got. And so the rooting goes way back. However you want to call it, the reality is, it's about being rooted in Jesus. Now, let's talk about our past for a minute. How many of you had any type of dysfunction in your past? Every hand in this room should go up, because every single one of us have been hurt. We've been hurt in so many different ways. I took time this week, and I pondered some of the ways that we've been hurt. Here, see if this hits you. For many, they never felt love growing up. Love was never articulated. They may have known, you may have known you were loved, but the reality was you were never even told you were loved. There was no affirmation of that love. We could talk about how you and I were bullied in school. We could talk about often the physical or the sexual or the mental or the emotional abuse that we've endured, and most of it was in secret with predators. We could talk about expectations we had that were crushed. Words that were said to you and I, such as, you'll never amount to anything. You know, your mother and I never wanted you. Things like that. There was also promises that were made that were never fulfilled. Oh, I'm going to give you this job. Oh, I'm going to help you do this. Never fulfilled. And what about even visions that were killed? The core of all of this was what? What did we have? A root of rejection. Did we ask for it? Did we want it? But the reality was, there was an enemy of our soul who's been trying to take us down for years. He has no love for us. All of that has done what? It's had a profound effect on our self-esteem. For many of us, we've grown up in survival mode. For many of us, we have just had little bowls of cornflakes instead of a buffet at life. And out of all of that, what do we often say to ourselves? Because I believe our self-talk then becomes the whole reality. After people have been so mean and done so many things to us, we start to believe what we're told. Oh, you're so stupid. Oh, you're so dumb. And then our self-talk becomes, I'm so stupid. And I'm so dumb. We never even thought of the idea of the question, what have I learned? Because the enemy of our souls didn't want us to know the truth. So we had flawed roots. Every one of us had flawed roots. And it wasn't necessarily our own fault because we didn't know what we didn't have. But those flawed roots produce what? They produce feelings of inferiority, feelings of worthlessness, feelings of anger, fears of all types, even including fears of intimacy, and even the distrust of people. So here's the reality, family. How do we reinvigorate ourselves? Well, the first thing is we couldn't. There's nothing we could do to fix our roots, but the reality often is that we forget who's fixed our roots. And I want to remind you today of that great God, because I think we need to take a renewed look at who we're rooted in. You game? Want to go with me for a few minutes on this? If you don't, you can leave now. Go ahead. I mean, but I think there's some things that are very important here. We need to get back to an eternal perspective. We need to get back to the perspective that we have an eternal Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the three in one who what? Love us. Isn't it nice to know that we have a God who doesn't hate us? I can't tell you how many different people have come out of different world religions, and their same phrase basically is this. In the religion group I was in before, I felt that I always had a God who was wrathful on me and who hated me. Whoa. And so I think we need to get back to the roots of what we believe so that we can have our roots reevaluated and renewed today. So let's start with who we believe in. So let's start with Hebrews 1:10-12. And Paul writes, says, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will never end. Does our God ever end? No. He goes on in the same in the next chapter. Since therefore the children, you and I, people of this world, share in flesh and blood, God himself likewise, Jesus, partook of the same things, body, walking on this earth, that through death he might what? What does it say? Destroy what? The one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to what? Lifelong slavery. I cannot tell you how many times people have been in critical situations. And one of the main things they'll say to me is, I just want to die. I just want to kill myself because then everybody else will be better off without me. John, I'm scared to die. I hope there's a heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Family, we have a God who promises us life that's far beyond the grave. That is where our hope lies. And we have a God who says, I've taken that fear of death away. Jesus has settled the score. And you know what else I love? When I read the Bible and it says, and Jesus is seated at God's right hand and he's interceding for you and me. How often? Every day. How often? More than once. How often? As much as is necessary. Romans 8:28. We also have this reality. Yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have that in Romans 3. Yes, we had in Hebrews 7 that God is able to save to the uttermost, but the reality is we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But as Paul says later on in the same book, But God shows his love for us that while we were what? Sinners. Christ died for who's us? Okay, just take a look around at each other. Just give each other a smile. I know you have to mask it, but just take a minute. How many of you did God die for? All of us. And yet how many times in the ups and downs of life do we sometimes say, God, I don't know if you're with me. I don't know if you're against me. I don't know if you're there. I don't know if you hear my prayers. I don't know what's going on. Is Jesus not at the throne of God interceding for you and I every day? And the amazing thing is, where does he live too? In us. Where else is he? Walking beside us. He's our rear guard. He walks before us. How does God do that? I haven't got a clue. But you know what? He's God and I'm not. And I got news for you. You're not God either. Just in case you're wondering. The reality is that our life is not easy. Yes, we're Christians. Yes, we're rooted in God. But sin still tires us out. I do believe there are days at the end of the day, and you probably say it, I say, Lord, the things I wanted to say, I didn't say. The things I should have said, you know, I didn't say. The things I thought that I shouldn't have thought, I thought. I mean, we sometimes roller coaster, don't we? And sometimes, I don't know about you, I get to the end of the day, I go, God, I don't even know how I made it through today. This day is so tired. I am so glad this day is done, and I got to be careful because tomorrow doesn't even look much better. It's exhausting. We are tired mentally. We're tired physically. We're tired emotionally. We're tired even sometimes sexually. And yet the God who loves us walked out of his tomb. And again, these are the words. If you need to grab hold of this today as part of being rooted in Christ, take Matthew 11 to heart. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? I'm going to give you rest. Now, where does the rest come? Body, mind, spirit, will, and emotions. How many of you lie in bed and plan speeches you know you'll never give? What is Jesus saying to you and I? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will continue to allow agitation and upset and crankiness and bitterness and everything to well up in you. I will give you rest. So again, I want to remind you, we need to say to ourselves, my roots are in Jesus. He's the one who's sustaining my life. He's in charge. He's giving us purpose. He's guiding me. And did we all live happily ever after when we first got our roots planted in him? How many of you live happily ever after since Jesus came into your life? I just thank you. None of us. Well, Don, I know why you're living happily ever after, because the Lord brought you that beautiful lady to help you. But for most of us, I think Christians have the wrong impression. If I love Jesus and he comes into my life, I'm going to live happily ever after. And what I find is that is not true. What I find is what Paul says, because life still is a grind. Life still is a grind. He says in Romans 5, not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And all of us said, oh, I want that. No. Thank you, Norm. I don't think any of us really wanted that. But in the midst of the grind, in the midst of the fact that we still have an enemy who wants to neutralize us, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called into his purpose. And so what happens is suffering does produce endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And we do not ever have to be ashamed of the hope that lies within us, because the roots are down in the one who gives us a hope when all things look absolutely nuts. And then, to go beyond that, Paul says, and by the way, not only do you have hope, you're also going to be able to comfort with the comfort which God has already comforted you with. Now, I don't know about you, but I do believe there are some pretty selfish Christians out there. They love the comfort, but they don't want to comfort with the comfort with which they've been comforted. Because you know what? That involves love. And that involves time. And that involves care. The one thing I love, specifically related this morning to this sermon for our church, is I do believe there's incredible love for one another in this church, and people really are praying for one another, and people really do care about one another. And everybody who God brings through that door is what? Going to be loved, because the church has got to be a place that's safe and secure for people as they're growing in Christ, rooted in love. So I want to propose three things as I conclude today. First of all, you've got ups and downs. One day you feel up, one day you feel down. I'm like that. I can be all over the map. Here's the first thing. Roots need time to grow. When we accepted Christ, did we get it all and know it all? No. When we came to Christ, we were a toddler. When we came to Christ, we sucked our thumb. We teethed. We burped. We made all kinds of things crazy. We didn't know, but the roots were growing. It takes time to grow. And all of that takes time. Because you know what? The Lord had to reteach us, and we, now listen carefully to this. We, growing up with dysfunction, right? And hurts and pains and all of that, we had to unlearn that to relearn what the truth was. And so Jesus has been feeding us through the very rootage of who we are in our own character, through people, through scripture, through situations, and even the ones that seemed hard, because the Lord was what? Building maturity into us so that we could ultimately comfort others with the comfort with which we were comforted. We're going to sing in just a moment this particular song, but I want to show you the words again. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. And we can't just learn that in a weekend. You and I are growing in our faith. And I've got to tell you, family, next week I'll be in a pastor for 39 years. And it has been my life call to help people ultimately grow in Jesus Christ. And I am so proud of every one of you. Secondly, do not let anything kill your roots. I do believe that we can be neutralized because of even situations involving other people. What does the scripture say? Bad company ruins.